time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, and this is normally the spot for City Manager Jess Knutson, but we've got two substitutes in. See, with Jess, you have to have two people, right?
That's right.
That's how it works. So, anyway, Anthony Kozlowski is here. He's the assistant to the Lake Havasu City Manager. Welcome.
Thanks for having me,
I got the title right.
That's right, yep.
I nailed it. All right, and Parks and Rec Director?
Correct.
Mike Keem.
Thanks, Paul.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Bring the mic up just a hair.
Thanks for having us.
Ah, perfect. All right. And we got a city council meeting tonight. Jess is in budget meetings.
That's correct.
You know, if I had a dollar for every time a city manager used that excuse with me, I wouldn't have much of a budget. So I think that's the first time he's ever used that excuse.
Yeah, no excuse this time around. It's just that time of year where we meet with the departments and we have conversations with them about what their proposed budget asks are. We come together with our finance team as well, and we have those discussions all week long.
Is that like department by department?
Yes,
by department?
We go department by department.
Wow.
And have those conversations with the director and their team. And that's a whole week process, and we're getting geared up for upcoming meetings with council beginning in April.
I got you. It sounds as busy as our sports schedule on KNTR Sports. I was showing you. Anthony's a big sports fan. I'm pretty sure you are too, Mike.
Yes, sir.
And boy, free agency in the NFL is wild right now.
Yep. First 2 days have been crazy.
The Cowboys have emptied their backfield, and where Pollard went somewhere.
Tennessee, I think.
Yeah, he did. And then the other one, wasn't there another back from the Cowboys? He either went to the Lions or the Packers. I don't know. Anyway, or he used to be with the Cowboys. Anyway, and then you've got the running back for the Raiders is gone, and everybody's just going everywhere.
And Broncos fan, Russell Wilson signed with the
Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Wait a minute. What? I didn't hear about that this morning from our resident Steelers fan. Russell Wilson is going to compete for that job?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. With Pickett?
Yep. Yeah.
And then you've got Mason Rudolph also in. Wow, that's like a quarterback controversy waiting to happen.
It'll be interesting.
I wouldn't mind having Mason Rudolph as a backup in Phoenix, I'll tell you that. You know,
right?
He's a good quarterback. So anyway, with sports, let's talk about sports schedule. Super busy. We've got tournament championships all week long, including the Big Ten tournament, the Pac-12 conference semifinal doubleheader will be Friday night. And then the Pac-12 Conference Championship on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So then you got the Big Ten Championship, and that's on Sunday. And then Suns basketball all thrown in. Actually, the Suns play the Bucks on Sunday morning.
That'll be a good game.
That'll be a really good game. I'm not really big on pre-playoff NBA basketball.
Yeah.
I'll watch it if I have to, especially November and December NBA. Yeah, forget about it. But, this time of year, to watch the Suns and the Bucks, I don't know if you've watched the Suns this year. Do you watch them a little bit?
Here and there. They've looked they just can't stay healthy. I mean, really, that's for the most part.
I'll tell you what. To have Nurkic in there instead of DeAndre Ayton, Nurk is a solid rebounder. I think he's better than Ayton, and he's definitely bigger than Ayton. So I know DeAndre Ayton was, you know, he was well-liked in that because he went to the U of A. But
sure, yeah.
I like Nurkic. He's a solid, solid postman. So, and then, if they could just keep.
Yeah, they got to keep the big
three.
They
could keep Beal healthy, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, we do have a show to do today, and it's not on the sports station, but check out the entire schedule. It's a pretty long one at KNTRSports.com. And of course, all those games, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. This Friday in Parker, we got the veteran stand down. And that's going to be at Hopi Avenue in Parker, and it's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's legal aid, housing, employment, benefits, free food, 928-323-4401 for more information, or just call Todd Baldwin over there at he works on SPAR, the DES office. He's the Veterans Benefits Coordinator over there. So Todd is just... He has his hands in everything over there. So, do you guys get out this weekend? Any events?
I made it down to Chowderfest.
You did? Yeah, how was it?
It was great. It was a great event. It was a lot of people there.
Did you see Marissa there on stage?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Was it with Chucky Bumps?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. Chucky Bumps and the Crocodiles had the whole brass section and everything.
You couldn't ask for a better day.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, I went down to the Deuces Car Show. It was in Rotary Park.
No kidding.
Went and checked that out, and everything was going well. We also had a scooter competition over at the skate park. So
really?
Very busy down there.
Like Razor scooters?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Correct, yeah, down in the skate park. So
how much can you do with a Razor scooter, right?
It's pretty amazing what those guys can do. All kinds
no
of
kidding.
Backflips, and yeah, it's fun to watch.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And then you had an art show at the Aquatic Center.
Correct. So we were very, very busy. Yeah, that was down in Relics and Rods. And then, obviously spring break in the channel, which I think we're going to talk about in a little bit. But
right.
Definitely a lot going on.
This weekend, too, a lot going on. We got the triathlon this weekend and the Memorial Walkway as well. So it's going to be another busy weekend.
'Tis the season for events. Right. You've got Extreme Machines is coming up. You've got the boat show coming up.
Yep.
You've got Desert Storm coming up. And, of course, the Desert Storm Block Party on Main Street. And, it's going to be a busy late March and April for sure. We were talking about the Aquatic Center, though. What about the improvements at the Aquatic Center? Where are we with that?
Yeah,
last time we had talked to you.
We're just finishing up the HVAC or the air handling units, just one or two particular units that just had some hiccups in the install. So we're finishing up getting those going. But in the pool area, which was the bulk of the actual contract for the company to do. There's new dehumidification systems in there. It takes all the humidity out, keeps it at a stable level. It's a wonderful feeling in there now. The winter is actually heated,
really?
And the summer is actually air-conditioned. So it feels very comfortable when you get out of the pool. I know there was a lot of talk of, do we really need air conditioning in a pool area? And while we don't keep it at 75 degrees because you would freeze when you got out of that water,
right?
It's a lot better than walking out, and it's 105 and 110 for anyone that's in there, including our lifeguard staff. But we obviously want to keep them in a temperature that's comfortable as well so they can be alert.
It's a tricky line to walk when you're talking about a pool area and HVAC, isn't it? I mean, you don't want to just put a swamp cooler in there, and then you have to keep the humidity down as well.
Correct, yeah. Obviously the humidity can cause all kinds of problems, rust in metal structures and that type of stuff. So you want to keep that level very, very low. And then, temperature is always a finicky thing, especially when someone's in a bathing suit, as opposed to us walking around fully dressed. So.
What kind of company came in and specializes in something like that?
Sure. So the general contractor was, you're going to make my mind go blank right there.
Where
Comfort Systems. They're out of Phoenix.
Comfort Systems.
Yeah, Comfort Systems was our general contractor. They did hire a couple of different subs, but the general contractor was Comfort Systems, and they come up from Phoenix.
Oh, nice. Under budget, at budget, what happened?
Right at budget.
Oh, very good.
So far, like I said, and we're just kind of finishing up, so I don't expect too many hiccups there, and we should be good.
Were you guys affected by any supply chain issues or anything like that?
Some of the equipment did take some time to get in, for sure, some of the units, and we actually just had one of the pulleys go go on one of the units, and it did take some time because of supply chain to get a new one in and installed. So, yeah, definitely still dealing with supply chain issues.
Well, you wear a shirt and tie every day. So the humidity, high humidity in the aquatic center, is that where your office is?
Luckily, my office is it is in the aquatic center, but in a completely separate environment, so I'm not.
But it has to affect it somehow, right?
There's days where you can definitely feel it when you walk in. With the new systems, though, it feels wonderful. It really makes a big difference. I go out on the pool deck and watch lap swim or watch an exercise class, or even when the kids are in there playing, and I can stand there now in my shirt and tie and not be, dripping wet. So it's great.
So I'm going to switch over to Anthony for a minute. Everyone in town has to have noticed the improvements on Highway 95.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's an incredible ride now. I've had people come in from out of town and they're like, wow, this is different. Mm-hmm. There's actually very little road noise in that, but it looks finished, but they're not finished.
Yep, not quite done yet. I mean, ADOT's done a fantastic job in doing a lot of that night work throughout the course of this project and making sure it has a minimal impact on our residents and for those utilizing that that highway. But they still have to put down, a sealant seal coat on top of that to, preserve that roadway for many years to come, as well as, tackle some of the bridges over the washes. So that bouncy bridge at the north end of town, they're planning to do some work on that to make sure they can smooth it out a little bit and make sure that's usable for future as well.
Nice. So what's the timeline when all that's going to happen, the next coat, if you will?
I know they're doing it in increments. I don't have an exact time frame as far as when they're going to be accomplishing this part of the project. Hopefully sometime in early fall, the highway should be completely finished is their expectations.
So now we're talking about road work in the city's section of you want to call it more or less the downtown district. It's a highly traveled district. We're talking about Swanson.
Yep.
Are we talking about Mesquite as well?
Yep.
What are the roads and what's covered with that project? That was just recently approved,
sure,
correct?
Sure, that was part of the $10 million council approved in last year's budget to kind of go towards additional road construction projects throughout the community. And through that process, our public works team and our streets division identified, highly trafficked areas, which roads needed the most improvement, and Mesquite and some of those areas within the downtown core were identified. There's also industrial, and what you've seen some work on London Bridge Road as well as part of that project that we've seen as part of that $10 million road construction project as well.
Yeah, we talked with the mayor a little bit about that industrial project. It's kind of interesting because it goes from asphalt to concrete and then back to asphalt. What's with the concrete? That must be expensive.
Yep. I believe that had more to do with some of the main replacements and some of the
water,
underneath that roadway. So I know that our streets department identified areas where, concrete might be more beneficial in some cases, and
right,
that was part of that project as well.
Oh, pretty interesting.
So, yeah, we definitely want to replace what's underneath the road before we go ahead and put brand-new concrete,
right,
or brand-new roadway on top of that.
Yeah, but now we're talking about, like, Swanson, for example. I mean, some places it's two-lane, and that's going to be a little tricky for traffic, isn't it? Are we talking about overnight hours again?
I don't know if these projects will be overnight. There's probably going to be more of that work happening during the day. Again, it's a short period of inconvenience for our residents,
sure,
having to be cautious when driving through those areas, as well as looking for other ways around those construction sites. But and again, at the end of it, they're going to have a brand new smooth roadway that we can enjoy for many years to come.
I mean, I could put some spin on it right here. If you look at the Main Street redo that was done, a couple years,
yeah,
ago?
Mm-hmm.
That was like you blinked and it was done.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be a really big hassle for a lot of drivers, or businesses down in the Main Street district. And it
looks great.
It seemed like,
yep,
it took 10 days. It wasn't very long at all. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our first break and try to generate some phone calls as well. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And got a clarification from the about the... He's calling it the awful move on the Steelers' part. He called Russell Wilson Russ the Bust.
This was a cheap deal.
Yeah.
Only $1 million
yeah.
bucks.
How much?
$1 million.
$1 million bucks.
Because the Broncos got to pay him a lot.
Yeah.
How much merch you got to sell to get $1 million back, right? Especially if you're a Steelers supporter. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. We've got Anthony Kozlowski and Mike Keene from the city of Lake Havasu City. Back with more in a moment. Actually, we don't call it that, do we? It's not the city of Lake Havasu City. It's just from Lake Havasu City. Right. Clarification. You work for Bullhead, right?
Yeah.
And that was the thing in Bullhead City. You say
yep.
the city of Bullhead City.
Yeah, in Bullhead, it was the city of Bullhead.
But Havasu
yeah.
does not do that.
Nope.
All right, that was my bad. Back with more. Here's some Eric Church. Version that was. I have to take that out of the recording. Oh boy, my bad. All right, little Blake Shelton there. You never hear that on the KJJ's version. So, anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Meow. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Patio Paradise by Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And our newest sponsor, Blonzy Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius, an all-veggie sandwich. And we'll just fade that out before it comes up, right? You wanted to hear that again, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Nah.
We don't want to get you in trouble, Paul.
Yeah, no, well, thank you very much. You know, I enjoy paychecks. I'm kind of addicted to them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know, you got the gig here, you got the gig up the street, you got the band gig. So, yeah, I'm addicted to paychecks and punishment.
And punishment.
something I didn't mention before the show, but you can call in the next break. We do have Lake Havasu Stampede PRCA Rodeo tickets for Friday night at 7, Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., and we got that guitar that's going to be auctioned off. Have you heard about that?
I remember them auctioning one off last year.
Well, we got one this year, too.
Great.
And Big D and Bubba from KJJ provided it. And the guitar has been signed by Dustin Lynch, Keith Urban, Lady A, Randall King, and Tracy Lawrence.
Wow.
Pretty good one for your collection if you're a collector. And anyway, excuse me, I want to talk about the second bridge.
Sure.
Or the Freedom Bridge, whichever camp you're in, right?
Well, sure, definitely we can talk about the second bridge study that we're currently working on. We brought on a consultant firm to help us with that process. We recently held our first open house public meeting, almost a little over 100 people show up to that first meeting to kind of give their feedback, provide any input as far as what they thought the second bridge should look like, if they had any concerns about the location and things of that sort. We got over 400 responses from the public.
Wow.
From that meeting. So it was great to have that amount of public input as part of this process and as part of moving forward with the study itself, meeting with state parks, meeting with the key stakeholders in the area, so the condo associations as well. So that study is currently in the process of moving forward. We're still in the early stages of it as far as connection is off of London Bridge Road. Is it going to be, to the highway? Is it going to be a connection to London Bridge Road and how it's going to make its way up to the highway?
Right.
Still some discussions with that and the costs associated with what that's going to look like. But definitely something that At this point, we'll start having more conversations and more public meetings in the not-so-distant future. So,
but the money is there, correct?
The money's there for the study. We, thanks to efforts from our delegation, Representative Biasucci and Senator Borelli, we did receive $200,000 for that study. And then in last year's budget, we did receive about approximately $35 million for the construction of the bridge.
Nice. How far is that going to go? Any feeling on that?
Not quite yet. We'll know more as we get a little deeper into the study and get some more hard numbers from our consultants as far as what that the bridge itself is a cost, but a large cost associated with the project is also the connection to the highway or to the London Bridge Road.
I know upriver, Toby was talking about the bridge from Laughlin to Bullhead, the new bridge, which is quite a span, by the way, because the river's quite wide in that area.
Much further than what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they've driven pylons into the river, which is a whole nother subject, right?
Yep, because we're not even going to touch the river.
Right.
The channel itself.
Nice.
So it'll span the channel. Mm-hmm. So that'll provide some different type of cost associated with that project as well.
And less paperwork, obviously,
correct.
And one less entity to deal with as far as the Army Corps of Engineers,
right?
So that's perfect. All right. Now we can segue perfectly to this one, the walking path on the island. Is that your department there, Mike?
Yes, it is. So with the help of Public Works, we're getting that island path. It's about 3.5-mile multi-use path around the island. Finally getting it repaved. It's been in dire straits of needing to be repaved for a couple of years now, and so we're definitely well on our way. I would say we're about 3/4 of the way. They just transitioned from working on the east side of the path, that is now completely paved and ready to go, and switched over to start working on the west side, where they have now pulverized the old path. So basically destroyed that, and they're starting to grade and getting ready to pave that side. That project should be done by early May.
We're talking about asphalt there, correct?
Correct. And a couple different reasons there. I know concrete obviously lasts a lot longer, a little more expensive. But on a path like that, where you have also runners going, you want a little bit of give, and that asphalt is a much better product for that use than concrete would be out there.
Is that as widely used as I think it is?
It is always busy.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of people out there.
Where's a good place to start? Where does that start? Like around Crazy Horse?
So, you know, lots of people say it starts in different places.
It is a
complete circle, so you can start really wherever you want.
Right.
There is a parking lot located just off of McCullough and Beachcomber, right as you come off the bridge. There's another parking lot at the Island Football Field. And then there's a really large parking lot just across from Site 6, which is also a good place to start and stop your activity there.
There's a whole other topic right there if we want to come back from break and talk about Site 6.
Another segue.
I saw where the launch ramp was actually poured outside of the water and then slid in some. Yep, that must have been interesting. Did you see that happening?
I didn't see it happen, but I saw the videos, and it's very interesting to see. It was a quick process.
It sounds like State Farm Stadium when they move the field in and out.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. All right, back with more in a moment. A little Morgan Wallen featuring, I can't remember who does this song, Florida Georgia Line. Up, down, up, down, up, down. All right, back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687. If you want rodeo tickets, 928-854-KNTR. Let me know if you want to go Friday night or Saturday afternoon. I'll give you maybe 4 if you're nice to me. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy.
Alright, we're back on Speak Out. Very, very, very popular song. Even here in the studio. Anthony Kozlowski pulling out the country today, right?
That's right.
Just
always.
Not requesting the songs, just we're going to play an upbeat country mix today.
You can't go wrong.
No, not really. I don't think so either. You know, I always wonder, Mike, you've got the Spring Breakers in town, right? Do they get into the country, or is it more hip-hop?
No, there's definitely a good mix down there. You'll hear some country down there, as well as all the hip-hop.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting. All I hear is, from my condo, there's houses across the way, and there's some guy, all he does is it's a pool area, and it just hoots, like, woo! Like every 15 seconds, I'm like, what is that guy doing? So anyway, can't see into the backyard, but I'm just imagining.
He's having a little more fun than you, bro.
I guess so. I don't know. Maybe he hangs out with Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair. Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Springberg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College. Sun Power by Esme Electric. By SamsGuns.com. And by Dorita's Place. Providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And what they really like to say at the city is shop local, spend local, eat local, play local, and add to that local tax base, right?
Yep, always helps.
Hopefully that's what's happening there with the short-term rentals right now, too, right? And I would imagine short-term rental market's pretty full right now with all the spring breakers in town.
You would imagine. I know last time we talked with our licensing team, we had about 1,300 registered short-term rentals in the community.
Oh,
so
how many?
Quite a few, 1,300.
Wow. Seems like, and yeah, let's talk about that housing bill we talked about
sure.
before the show. Doesn't really apply to Havasu, does it?
No, it doesn't. The state, as far as that bill's concerned, put some population thresholds on that bill as well as a few other ones to kind of exclude rural communities. It's really more impactful to communities more so in Maricopa County and Pinal.
It puts more limitations on HOAs too, right?
It in some instances it also takes away public input in some cases as well.
How so?
As far as what you can and can't put on a single family residential zone.
What?
Yeah, but so it does change some things in trying to address concerns as far as addressing a more affordable housing. So more housing is in some instances is the idea behind it. So finding projects that you can put more housing units on a single family zone lot is the idea behind it.
Uh-huh. You seem to think that Governor Hobbs was going to veto that bill.
That's what I'm thinking. As far as working with our lobbyists and the League of Cities and Towns, there's a lot of communities across the state who don't want to see the public input being taken out of that process. It's in our instance, at the local level, it's very important to, you know, the residents have a say in what goes on next to their homes.
Right.
So if there's going to be a change in what that zoning looks like and what's going to be allowed on that lot, there should be a public process associated with that.
Is that to say that planning and zoning would go away in that case if there wasn't that population threshold and she signed it?
No, but planning and zoning wouldn't go away. It would just be more of a staff level decision process as far as what that looks like.
Interesting. So spring break's going on, obviously. Has that presented any problems? And then I want to talk about team break.
Sure. No, not so far. Everything has been going pretty smoothly down there in the channel. You know, obviously when you get that many people around, it gets a little more hectic. And, you know, our guys are out cleaning up every morning, making sure all the trash and everything is picked up. And the kids have a great place to have a lot of fun, play some football, all kinds of different activities going on down there in the channel and Rotary Park.
Now, what about teen break? Is that coming up?
Yeah, so teen break is actually next week when our kids are out of school. So it'll run Tuesday, March 19th through Thursday, March 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. down at Rotary Park. Registration is already going on. You can register online at Lake Havasu, www.lhcaz.gov, or call the Aquatic Center, 928-453-8686. Cost is $43. That includes all the food and drinks and different activities going on. This year, we're bringing back the mud pit, which is always a hugely popular activity. And based on the weather, it looks like it'll be beautiful out. So we'll actually, instead of them in jeans and sweatshirts running through the mud pit, it'll be a little bit easier for them in shorts and a t-shirt. Zip line's coming back. We'll have some kayaking and paddleboard going on, volleyball. Tons of food, entertainment, prizes. Beachcomber actually donated a Razor scooter, so you know, some big ticket items there too. I want to thank a couple of the sponsors: Swire Coca-Cola, Ron Carlton with Mission Foods. The three grocery stores are giving us some donations of food and drink as well.
So Smith, Safeway, Albertsons,
correct?
Okay,
and then as well as. I want to thank all the service clubs that have donated as well to the funds to help give a safe place for our 6th through 12th graders to go down and enjoy a great few days down there. Again, it's right on the south end of Rotary Park. A bunch of different activities going on. We're hoping for some laser tag, a gyro machine as well. I'm not sure if I said the zip line before or not.
Yeah, you
but,
did.
That is a really cool thing.
Where does that run from?
So we actually run it along the beach.
Wow.
So it's over the sand, and it's really cool. The kids have a blast on it. It's just a great opportunity for them to get out and relax a little bit and have a good time.
Well, I looked ahead a little bit weather-wise. It looks like you're going to be low to mid-80s.
It's going to be a nice week.
It's going to be a very nice week for that.
Great week.
Now, here's my one question now. The first thing you said was $43. That seems like an exact number. It's not 40, it's not 45, it's definitely not 50, but $43. Where did you get 43?
So 43 comes out of our budgeting processes that our fees increase based off of the CPI index. So at one point it was $40, and I believe last year was 41, and so this year it's 43 based on those increases.
And what does that cover? Like 3 days, 4 days?
So three full days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all you can eat, food, drinks, entrances into all the prizes, the competitions that go on out there. Just the everything you can think of. Those kids walk away with a ton of things.
I don't think, Anthony, I don't think I could do anything for 3 days that would cost me $43 for time.
It's definitely a great deal.
Yeah.
To be able to have that for our residents and for the kids of the community. So.
Yeah, right. No kidding. And the important thing, Wi-Fi. Are you going to have a hotspot down there?
Yeah, there is Wi-Fi in the park. And then we will have a gaming trailer as well. So the kids that like to game, they can do that as well.
That's kind of goes hand in hand, Mike. You know that, right?
Yes.
Being the parks and rec director, I would imagine kids and gaming, kids and phones, kids and anything video, right?
Yes.
All right. So did we talk about the budget process at all?
A little bit, yeah. We talked about that to start off the show as far as what's going on this week is meeting with the different departments to look over their proposed budgets.
What's the hot spot? Speaking of that, what's the hot spot on the agenda tonight for the council meeting?
As far as hot spot, not really nothing that really sticks out. Just a lot of good, you know, good things going on within the different departments as far as more vehicle replacement of vehicles. Trying to improve in those areas, some roadway projects, I believe a grant agreement for the police department, and really that's for the most part that's really the highlights.
Okay, and we went to break. We talked a little bit about Site 6. Mm-hmm. How's that coming along? And are we looking at a completion date that's a little more concrete?
As far as I know we not too long ago we pushed the ramp into the water and the hope is to have that open to the public early May.
Yeah, we're hoping sometime in April.
April.
I'd love to get it open before Desert Storm. That's kind of a goal that we're shooting for.
Right.
It's the ramp was pushed in on Valentine's Day.
Explain to the listeners how that worked, because it's a great visual for radio.
Yeah, so it was quite the process. So they actually poured the ramp up on land. And
you're talking about concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full blown concrete. I believe it weighed over 80,000 pounds.
Whoa.
and they had three DC-8s, the big dozers, come and push it in. Slid that on top of some sand and a visqueen-type material, plastic, and slid it into its place, its resting home now under the water. And so the stuff that they're working on now is pouring the pad that will actually connect to that, so where the trucks will mostly sit as they're pulling up the ramp, and then
okay.
We just have a few tidy up things to do, and we'll be ready, and the ramp will be back open.
I was imagining rollers like the pyramids were built, right? Like rolling blocks of concrete,
sure.
Going in, and just watch your fingers.
Yeah, don't get stuck under it, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
And,
wow.
And a lot of those funds were State Lake Improvement Funds.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Definitely want to thank our state representatives as far as making sure that those funds are available.
Explain to people, Mike, why that was all done at Site 6. With the launch angle, especially.
Yeah, so the ramp was deteriorating for sure, and you know, while some people believe it's entertainment to go down there and watch people struggle to launch their boat and pull their boat out of the water, it was
right.
getting to a point where it was getting very difficult to,
right.
to pull a boat out. So the ramp needed to be replaced, but we also said at this time, why don't we take the opportunity and reduce the angle of that incline down quite a few degrees so that those vehicles don't have quite the chore of pulling those heavy boats up and out of the water at a steep angle. So we're able to accomplish that as well, so it shouldn't be as difficult to launch and retrieve a boat from Site 6.
But there were other improvements done there too, right? ADA?
So this is the main portion is the ramp, and then we're going to be working on some of the landscaping around it as well to continue on
okay.
to that project.
How important is that for, like, say, an event like Desert Storm Poker Run that's coming up?
Yeah, it's extremely important. During Desert Storm, Site 6 is actually used as kind of the emergency operations during the
launch portion.
Yeah, during the run there, right when they're
okay.
when they're going almost 200 miles an hour on that lake.
Oh.
So that's kind of the safety area, and we have the Mojave County Sheriffs are there. If something were to happen, it's a quick in and out.
Sure.
They'll actually land the helicopter right there. God forbid they, you know, need to do any sort of rescues
yeah.
or whatever. That's kind of the hub down there.
Yeah,
so
right.
It is important for us to be able to have access and get that open.
Yeah, because other parts of the lake get so busy, and that can be a good spot for, emergency services. That's a really
yes.
good point. All right, so Jack Hardy Park. That's one of the quieter spots in town as far as parks go, but there's improvements going on there.
Yeah, we've had several in the last or working on several in the last couple months. One is the Lions Club donated a shade structure over some benches and seating area that were actually provided by the Kiwanis Club, so that provides a nice shade on the western portion of the park and enables people to really sit and relax and have a conversation there as opposed to sitting out in the sun on those hot benches. So awesome that came together. And then we're also working on replacing the playground and soft safety play surface
mm-hmm.
at that park. We'll be ripping out that surface, putting a new playground in, and then replacing the surface. At the same time, we'll take that playground and move it out onto the island because it isn't quite seen all of its day and time. So we're going to move that out to the island football field so that we have another playground to add out there for you know, brother and sister that might not be playing a football
sure.
game, have something to do while they're out watching as well.
Yeah, that bench program from Kiwanis, well, I don't know if you remember Myron Duchesne. He actually developed that program, and there's a lot of benches around town. We started to do a lot of refurbishing of those, and we didn't realize there were so many or where they were. If there's one that we missed, folks, go ahead and call me here at the station, and I'll make sure to get the word to the club, and we'll get that bench, wherever it is, refurbished. But, yeah, there's been a lot of refurbishment going on with those Kiwanis benches. So that was part of Golden K for a while, if you remember that club. So tell me about this play surface. I hear they're quite expensive.
They are. It's a surface that's kind of an almost spongy material
uh-huh.
that they put on. But it's a fall protection for, you know, if a kid were to fall off the swing set. What is nice is we have fall protection on all of our playgrounds, and there's just three different levels. There can be a wood fiber, rubber chips that actually look like ground-up tires, and then the most expensive version is this poured-in-place safety surface. The biggest feature of it is you're able to roll on it, so whether that be a wheelchair or a baby stroller, you know, you can roll across it. The rubber tires provide an excellent level of fall protection as well, but very difficult to roll across. So this provides both of those in one swoop.
Oh, very good. What's the time frame on all that for Jack Hardy?
Yeah, so we're waiting a little bit on the we talked about supply chain issues a little bit ago.
Oh, okay.
So we are waiting on the playground equipment to come in. Once we get word from the company that they have received it in their yard, we'll start tearing that equipment out and tearing the safety surface there out. Our parks crews are going to do that themselves before the company comes in and installs the new surface and the new playground.
Now, were you part of that project that Jerry came in and talked about last month with the, was it the managers or directors?
Supervisory Excellence Academy.
Supervisory Excellence Academy. Were you part of that, Mike or Anthony?
We were just involved in those conversations of, you know, where that was going to go, how it would work. The Supervisor Excellence Academy did a wonderful job of really formulating what that plan was going to be. I did have, you know, several staff members on that academy, so it, you know, worked out well where they were able to use some of their expertise of irrigation and, you know, how to design a park and different types of plants and that material. So a great project and absolutely looks beautiful down there.
You weren't part of that, though, as far as the work?
No, not myself, no.
Oh, okay, perfect. Anything else you guys wanted to get out there before we call this one?
No, I don't think so. Is there anything else for us, Paul?
Just a city council meeting tonight?
Yep, city council meeting tonight at 5:30.
I know what we can talk about, the new courthouse and the upstairs section. When what's the timeline on that? What are you looking for with the city council moving it up there?
At this point, the hope is possibly either the second meeting in March or the first meeting in April for a first meeting up in that location.
Oh, no kidding!
Based off of some of the work that's currently going on at the PD complex as well.
What needs to be done?
Just some odds and ends as far as the IT side of things, just working some things out as far as that's concerned. And once we kind of run through some trial and error runs with the technology, I'll hopefully have a meeting there as soon as we can.
So you have elevator access now too,
yep,
correct?
Yep, the elevator's in as well.
And so there's stairs and elevator access.
Yes, that's correct.
Perfect. So guys like David Lane can take the stairs. Guys like me can take the elevator.
Exactly.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour. And thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks
again,
for having us.
City council meeting tonight. It's still in the where the city council meetings are.
Right, still in the
police facility.
Facility, yep.
Right. 5:30 start.
Yep, 5:30 start.
All right, and it looks like a pretty short agenda tonight, or I don't know.
Definitely a wider one.
Not too bad.
Not too
right,
bad.
Right. Compared to the last meeting, right?
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment. Again, thanks to Anthony Kozlowski, assistant to the Lake Havasu City Manager, excuse me, and Parks and Rec Director Mike Keen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Paul.
Appreciate it.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Now you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky. Red Solo Cup.
One of the ultimate country breakup songs, right? She's probably making out on the couch right now with someone new. You gotta love that. You gotta love that. Marissa June just walked in, and this is groundbreaking, folks. This day in history.
All
this
right.
is crazy, and this changed her life forever.
Yeah, all right.
She's only 19, and it happened in like 1966.
Yeah, 1966. So here's a little fun fact for you. Today in 1966, bell bottoms hit the market for the very first time.
Holy cow! And your life changed for the better.
Yeah, bell bottoms is like all I wear.
That's
you,
like your whole
you know.
That's your whole wardrobe.
Yeah, it is.
She's got the The flares, the flare on her pants today is about as wide as her shoe is long.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy. That's so old school. You gotta love that. All right, on tomorrow's show, we've got the Chamber of Commerce and also Esme Electric. And on Speak Out 2.0, Greg Ott from 66 Auto Sales. And then we'll learn more about the River Run and Mayhem from Larry Topping on his return to the studio. And give him the new Speak Out number, Marissa.
All right. To call into Speak Out 2.0, you can call 234-343-1065.
But that doesn't come up next. You know that, right? They're before us now. Speak Out 2.0 is before us. No, that was...
Whoops.
I'm just reminding you.
Yeah, I know. I keep forgetting. Time changed already.
And folks, it's like 78 degrees today, and she still has on her MTV sweater.
Like, it's freezing in my office, man.
All right. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Have a great day, everyone.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.